Well, we come today to a section in the book of Colossians that that begins to deal especially with ethical concerns, do's and don'ts, commands. Live like this. Behave in these ways. Partly in the interest of time, I actually do have a sermon that deals with these things. Partly because of time, and partly because my suspicion is that for most of us, the issues of what exactly is right and what exactly is wrong, like the list that we're going to read in just a moment, is really not a great mystery to us. For the most part, we're probably not going to debate whether the things that Paul talks about in this part of his letter to the Colossian church are really right or really wrong. And there are some insights that we could gain along the way about those. But I suspect that if you're like me, that the real issue is not one of knowing the sort of things that we're supposed to do, but in being able to do them. That it's really not an issue of wisdom, generally, for folks like us. I mean, I think there's plenty of others that we can share with and help learn what things are right and what things are wrong. But for most of us, I think it's a matter of being able to do them, having the power to actually do. Like the Apostle Paul said in his letter to Romans, I do the very thing I don't want to do. I know what's right, and I don't do it. And I know what's wrong, and I do it. Anybody else besides me can say amen to those sorts of things? Amen. So we're going to deal a little bit more with the why and the how, which really makes the title that I gave 3 weeks ago to this message a little bit beside the point, 10 Habits of Highly Holy People. But we're going to deal a little bit more with the how this morning for just a little while. And let me use as an example a swimmer to begin with. A champion swimmer. I've never been a swimmer, so I guess it's a safe one for me to talk about. But I've seen people who are good swimmers. I've seen people who are very dedicated to swimming, and not just on TV, although a lot of those as well. And a champion swimmer, it seems to me, has an identity. They know themselves to be a champion swimmer. I'm looking at a friend in the back of the church who was a champion track person, a champion runner, was very dedicated to that. A swimmer, any sort of athlete that's going to be good, a champion at what they do, at some point they assume that identity, and with that identity they take on, they embrace, they grab a hold of certain values. For a swimmer, swimming is a rewarding activity in and of itself. I just like moving through the water. Personal effort and improvement. When I've talked to swimmers I've known, they're always talking about their personal best times. And they went to a meet and they got their personal best. Improvement, doing better, is a value. Fair and challenging competition is a value. Maybe awards, acknowledging their ability and hard work, are a value. And maybe somewhere in the back of their mind, as a young swimmer who is assuming that identity of a champion, a good swimmer, someone who is not just one who swims, but a swimmer, somewhere in the back of their mind, maybe they imagine an Olympic medal. Behavior, then, and habits for that swimmer flow from the values that they embrace. Do you get that? I do the things I do. I go to the pool at 5 a.m. every day. I swim lap after lap after lap. I go to competitions, jump in the pool, and swim for all I'm worth. Because I am a swimmer. Not just one who swims. A lot of people go to the pool. They're not swimmers. But I am a swimmer. You wouldn't expect to see such a person at a meet when the gun goes off, grabbing a guitar and standing up on their platform and making like a rock star while everyone else is swimming. That's not a swimmer. That would be crazy. You wouldn't expect to see that person when the gun goes off kind of slowly glide out to the middle of the pool and then make a sharp left-hand turn, hoping to bump into as many of the other swimmers coming back the other way as possible while calling out, "Marco!" That's a person just playing silly pool games. That's not a swimmer. You wouldn't expect their training regimen to consist of 12 hours of TV a day, accompanied by lots and lots of pizza and soda. That is not what champion swimmers do. Behavior and habits flow out of values, which rest on that foundation of that sense of identity. Then, I would add, as that person behaves in these swimmer sorts of ways, more and more, because of the values they have as one who sees themselves as a swimmer, they gain sight. They gain insight. They gain understanding into what it really means to be a swimmer. And those values that they affirmed are affirmed more strongly still. Oh, because I see myself as a swimmer, I've been going to the pool early in the morning and swimming lap after lap after lap. I've been going to coaching sessions. I've been working hard to develop my technique. I've gone to meets and I've tried as hard as I can. And I've gotten faster. A lot faster. In fact, I'm winning meets now. I can see ribbons and medals on my wall at home. And those things help me to see that it's true. It works. The value, the behaviors that I've done because of my values work. I am a swimmer. A champion swimmer. And I see it more clearly now than I've ever seen before. Do you see how that works? Now, just for fun, values, or better way to say it, behavior flows out of values. Sight flows out of the behavior. And those values are solidified and strengthened because of that sight. You catch that? You catch how that works? Now, just for fun, that's, if you want a little memory device here, that's VBS. VBS, VBS, VBS. All resting on that foundation of identity. I imagine it's the same way, well, I know it's the same way for people that run track. It's the same way for people who are in a marching band. It's the same way for people who are champion doctors, or champion teachers, or champion anythings. Identity means I assume certain values. Those values lead to certain behavior. As I behave that way, I see more clearly what it is to be that, and the values that I have are solidified, and it just goes like that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's that phrase that we read several weeks ago earlier in the book of Colossians. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is a wonderful new identity that God gives us. Christ in you. Me and Christ, unified. Not just Christ, the moral example that nobody would be able to live up to or equal, but Christ in you. You and Christ in union. This is an identity that is challenged by false teachings, and that's what Chris dealt with last week. What the Apostle Paul dealt with the Colossians, false teachings that would try to undermine that identity of this union in Christ, which is the hope of glory. Now, with this identity, what should we do? How should we live? Can we know it? And if we know what to do, will we have the strength and wisdom to do it? You know, there have been times when I've, as a pastor, visited with people at the end of their life. And on a few occasions, I've had the opportunity to minister to people who were anxious. And sometimes this anxiety, as they approach the end of life, and they know that death is coming soon, part of that anxiety is a sense of, I don't know if I've been good enough. I do believe, I do know that there's more coming, but I'm not sure if my life would warrant the good things that are promised. I'm worried about that. Did my good deeds outweigh the bad? That's what I would call track one. And there are others who I visited with toward the end of life who are on a different track. And that's the track that I would call Christ in me, the hope of glory. When we understand and experience ourselves to be raised, to be raised to new life with Christ, we will do certain things. And as we do these things, our knowledge and experience of this new life will grow. As I said, at this point in Paul's letter to the Colossians, he shifts to these ethical concerns. Let's take a look at what he says. Colossians 3, 1 to 14. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, which was a particularly bad sort of person back in those days, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask that you would help us to understand these things. And that we especially understand that you are with us, you are in us. You will help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, you can see the list of things as I sort of paraphrase them in your bulletin. Again, we're not going to spend much time talking about those. I think they generally speak for themselves. The question is, how can we do that? Where do you start? It's a tough assignment. None of us are going to do it perfectly well. How can we make progress? And I would simply point out that the apostle begins his ethical commands here in Colossians, and I think ingenious fashion, by calling us to do something first. And from that, everything else flows. Highly holy people know that their new life, raised with Christ, has begun. It's begun because God says so. It's an identity that they have in him because of what he has done, which they receive simply by faith. By simply saying yes to the gift of God in Jesus Christ. Yes, thank you, I will receive what you would give. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the identity. I am a swimmer, a champion swimmer. I am one of God's chosen people. I am a person of Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's who I am. That's my identity. Now, how does Paul begin his list of, okay, as Christians, here's how you're supposed to behave. Anybody have any problem with any of those? Anyone want to argue that sexual immorality is really a good thing for people to do? That makes us more whole and more healthy and is beneficial for the people around us? Anyone want to argue that lying to one another actually is the way to achieve greater unity and love and good things in a community? Of course not. Yet we do these things. Paul begins by pointing people to their values. Like with a swimmer, like with a person who runs track as a champion, like a person who is committed to being part of the marching band or a musical group of any kind, like a person who sees themselves and wants to be a champion, a good doctor, a good teacher, a good whatever. Paul begins by saying, know yourself to be this because of Jesus and assume the values. Embrace the values. Say yes to the values. How does he say that? He says, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. If all the possible values that a person living in this world could have came to us in a catalog, like I remember the Christmas catalog coming to our house when I was a kid, Sears catalog. And you know what's a funny thing? When that Christmas catalog came to our house, I never turned to the women's clothing pages. Never happened. I never turned to the boys' clothing pages, though I knew I probably was going to get some underwear. Where did I turn? The toys! The well-worn, ragged-edged part of the catalog, because I had a brother and a sister too, and that's where they turned. Why? Because I had my heart set on toys. If all the possible values that we might have in this world came to us in a catalog, what page would we turn to? Paul says, turn to the page that has Jesus and his stuff on it. Do that as an act of your will. Oh, God's will is involved. God is helping us. Turn to the page that has Jesus on it. Look toward him. Value him. Value his things. And when you do that, the behavior will take care of itself to a large extent. The empowerment for new behavior, the empowerment for behaving in good and righteous ways will come as a result of that. That's where it starts. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. When we understand and experience ourselves to be raised to new life with Christ, we will do certain things. And as we do these things, our knowledge and experience of this life will grow. It's that VBS thing. I really believe this. Grab those values. That's where you start. I mean, we could all say, okay, dang it. I'm looking at this list. Get rid of anger and rage and malice. Get rid of them. Put to death sinful behaviors, immorality, impurity, all the rest that he lists. Put them to death. It's interesting. Can't resist this one little insight. He doesn't say, make progress. He doesn't say, try to limit your impurity. Try to tone down on the sexual immorality a little, okay? No. What does he say? Put to death. Don't flirt with these things. Kill them. Zero tolerance. That's the way to start. How can I do that? Values. Values. And as I embrace those values, my behaviors are going to change. And as I, again, by my will and by God's will, my behavior is going to change. And as my behavior changes, I start to see, oh my goodness, it's true. It works. Life really is better this way. It really can be done. My values that I chose to embrace, the things above, really are better than the things below. God isn't lying. And when we gain that vision, those values become more solid. And as those values become more solid, the behaviors change more for the better. And the sight, you see, VBS. It's like a wheel going around and around with Jesus Christ in the center. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that center is going to be there. The wheel turns at a pace unique to each of us. And it moves along that foundation of our identity in Jesus. That's how it works. Why should we be good? Why should we do righteousness rather than evil? We do it, I think I heard it, because it pleases God. We do it because that's what Jesus would do. My identity. His values are my values. We're united. I do it because that's what Jesus would do. Because that's what he's all about. And I am a champion Christian. I'm not earning my way to heaven with this stuff. That's all been taken care of already. But by God, this is who I am. So when I jump into that life pool, I swim for all I'm worth. I don't stand up there and do Rock Band. I don't make left turns and play Marco Polo with my Christian life. I jump in the pool and I swim for all I'm worth because that's who I am. Those are my values. It works. I see it. That's why we do it. That's how we do it. We strive for goodness in behavior because we believe it's good and right, but more than that, we do so because we value Jesus and we gratefully belong to him. We are united to him. So what Jesus does is what we do. He lives in us. It's who we are. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that blesses us and challenges us, empowers us to know who we are and to act like it. Lord, I pray for each one of us that we would grab a hold of your values, that we indeed would choose to look to the things above, to value you, to turn to that page in the catalog that you're on and set our hearts on you. And then affirm that's who we are and do our best to act like it, to behave like it. And Lord, then would you bless us with vision, with sight, to see the truth, and so to affirm ever more strongly the value that we place on you, and so to continue to move through that healthy life in you. Not perfect, but with an identity of union with you, not just in this life, but into and through all eternity. And I pray these things in your name and for your sake. Amen. Let's stand and sing hymn 485 to God.